Okay, you know about the U.S. Coast Guard and the life-saving service, right? Races out when freighters are sinking, takes mariners off the decks, saves their lives. But you know how that all got started? It wasn't the Coast Guard that started it. It was started by a lighthouse keeper. One lighthouse keeper who happened to be stationed at the lighthouse right above the beach where the bodies washed up every time that happened. One day, instead of bodies, a lifeboat washed up. And Joel Munson used that lifeboat to change history and start a tradition that has saved hundreds and hundreds of people from a miserable, cold, wet, suffocating death drowning at sea. And it's a great story, and I can't wait to tell you about it. But first, I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Finn J.D. John, and I do a weekly newspaper column called Offbeat Oregon History. This column got started in 2008, and it runs in about a dozen community newspapers around the state today. Every week it tells the stories of Oregon history that nobody knows about. Stories of heroes and rascals, of shipwrecks and lost gold, of Shanghaied sailors and Skid Row bordellos and pirates and robbers and buried treasure and unsolved mysteries. What you're listening to is the RSS feed. This feed brings you one of our archive columns every morning in your choice of text and pictures or audio-only formats. This is a story that was published once before, sometime in the last 3 or 4 years, in the newspapers. So here's today's story. Tired of watching mariners die, lighthouse keeper started a rescue service. After finding a battered lifeboat washed up on shore from a fatal shipwreck, Joel Munson made it his life's mission to use it to start a life-saving service. Today, his creation soldiers on as part of the U.S. Coast Guard. Here it goes. It was the Ides of March, 1865. Captain I. Lewis, commander of the 300-ton bark Industry, was staring at the mouth of the Columbia River. He'd been staring east at the mouth of that river for 2 straight weeks as the Industry tacked back and forth in the safe, deep waters beyond the notorious Columbia River Bar, known for good reason as a graveyard of ships. Lewis was waiting for the bar pilots to send a boat with a pilot over to guide the big windjammer safely into the river. But no pilot had come, and now the Industry's supplies of food and water were exhausted. Lewis couldn't wait any longer. He gave the order to fall off the wind and sail into the bar. At the top of the Cape Disappointment Lighthouse on the Washington side of the river, the lighthouse keeper there, Joel Munson, must have watched this with mounting anxiety. Captain Lewis was taking a huge risk, and no one knew that better than Munson. His duties at the lighthouse went beyond tending the light. It also regularly fell to him to retrieve and arrange for burial of the corpses of unlucky mariners that all too frequently washed up on the beach nearby. The prevailing winds on the Oregon coast come out of the southwest, so when a ship foundered on the bar, the wreckage tended to be blown his way. Sailing ships were especially vulnerable on the bar. There were unpredictable wind shadows, and many a ship would sail on in only to be suddenly becalmed at the worst possible moment. And that is exactly what happened to the Industry an hour or so later. Although the wind picked back up, the current had shifted her position, and on the next attempt to tack, the Industry struck a sandbar which tore off her rudder. Now truly helpless, the Industry wallowed in the bar as the seas got bigger, probably as a result of the tide starting to come in. A lifeboat was launched and promptly capsized. The survivors on the ship climbed into the rigging to escape the pounding breakers, which soon had the decks cleared of everything, including even the cabins. They waited there all day and all night. Finally, the next day, the seas were calm enough for the survivors to build rafts from the wreckage and float to shore. One raft made it, the other did not. 7 men lived, 17 died. By the time the last mariner had drowned, it had been a good 48 hours since the Industry's rudder was stripped off. Munson, who had been unable to do anything but watch helplessly, now had something he could do: go to the beach and look for corpses. But when he got to the beach, Munson found something else: a battered lifeboat, either the one that had capsized after launch or the one stripped off the Industry by a comber. Munson decided he'd take that lifeboat and use it to actually do something about the situation he found so intolerable. Now, Joel Munson was a gifted fiddler player. His nickname was Fiddler Smith. He decided to use that talent, along with his new lifeboat, to get a life-saving station started at Cape D. And the next time a ship went down, he'd just row right out there and start rescuing people. He booked a series of fundraising dances in Astoria, charging $2.50 a head, which is equal to about $40 today. The community turned out in force to support the cause. He also talked the lighthouse service into building a boathouse for the lifeboat he was restoring and put out a call to the community for volunteers to come help him row it. By the following spring, Munson could say with absolute confidence that if the industry wreck were repeated, every hand would be rescued. He didn't have to boast, though. In May of 1866, another bark, the W.B. Scranton, ironically owned and captained by the same fellow who owned the industry, Paul Corno, came to grief on the bar after running ashore. Munson and his volunteers were ready. Several hours later, the entire crew of 13 men was safely on shore. A few years later, Munson and his team rowed out again to rescue 10 mariners off the rigging of the Architect, a bark that simply filled with water and sank to the bottom, with its masts protruding above the waves. By 1877, Munson was getting a bit too old for this sort of thing, so he handed it off to his volunteers and retired from the lighthouse service and moved to Astoria. He retired from the lighthouse service because he was too old, but apparently he wasn't too old to build a small steamer called the Magnet and to go into the business operating it until 1881, when he was appointed as lightkeeper at Point Adams on the Oregon side of the river. He did this until 1898, when bad health forced him to leave the post, and he died a short time later. As for the life station he founded, it was staffed by community volunteers until 1882, when the U.S. government made it an official operation and hired career surf men. An additional station was built at Point Adams. The U.S. Coast Guard runs these stations today using 47-foot motor lifeboats that are virtually unsinkable to rescue mariners in astonishingly hostile seas. Over the years, thousands of mariners have been saved from the lonely, watery death that came to those 17 sailors on the Industry almost 150 years ago. And it all started when the Pacific Ocean took away their lifeboat and gave it to Joel Munson. Nobody wants to drown at sea. Still, if one has to die that way, there's something special and noble about that death being part of something that saves the lives of so many others. That's it for today. You can check out all the columns and subscribe to either RSS feed by going to www.offbeatoregon.com. Both Offbeat Oregon Du Jour feeds are optimized for smartphone use, but they work great on a tablet or netbook or even an old, good old-fashioned computer. Everything here is covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Well, thanks for listening, and drop me a line anytime at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. Especially if you're going to be in the Corvallis area and have time for a cup of coffee someday. I'll be back tomorrow around 6 a.m. with the next episode. Until then, well, happy trails!